Good morning, everyone. And morning to everyone online, whichever camera you're on, I don't know. Today we're going to continue our study in Acts, and we're looking at Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. You'll find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1101. That's 1101 or 1101, whatever you like. And whether I found out this morning, whether you pick one of the ordinary versions or you pick the large print version, it's on the same page in both. 1101. However, there you go. So please, if you want to follow, please go and pick up a Bible from the two stacks at the back there. While you're doing that, or while you're finding the page, I want to ask you a question. If somebody asked you to describe where I am this morning, where am I? What would you say? Well, you might say, oh, Nick's in postcode SO18 5TR. Let's get it right. Which is fair enough, I am. But that's an area of about 1.5 square kilometres, so not very accurate. You might say, oh, he's in Thornhill Baptist Church. That's a bit closer, but, you know, we've got a lot of rooms here. I could be anywhere. What you might say is Nick is standing in a space called Advice Grades Export. Or you might say Paul down there is sitting in a space called Port Copies Line. Now, Mark at the back is actually sitting in a space called Daisy Comic Hints. Not that appropriate, but there you go. Anybody know what on earth I'm talking about? Yeah?
What three words?
Absolutely. It's a brilliant system that some very clever people have devised, whereby the whole of the Earth's surface is split up into squares 2 metres by 2 metres, just a little bit bigger than these blocks here. And every one of those squares around the world has got a unique combination of three words. Yeah. So wherever you are, you can be pinpointed just like that. And we're going to look at an occasion today where God, in his providence, put two people in exactly the what three words spot at precisely the right time. In another sense, this story is about a combination of three other things. It's a combination of how divine guidance, cultural boundaries, and personal obedience converged in one place at one time in order to spread the gospel. Let's read, starting at verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Of course, this is a story of conversion, but it's not just a story of conversion. It's a masterclass in spirit-led obedience, cross-cultural engagement, and the power of Scripture. Together we're going to explore the historical context of this story, the messages contained within it, and how we can live out Philip's example today. So first, let's look at the elements involved. The people, Philip. Philip was one of the seven deacons that we read about being chosen in the sixth chapter of Acts. Full of the Spirit and wisdom, but chosen to wait on tables. While the apostles gave attention to the prayer and ministry of the word. So Philip, not an ordained minister, an ordinary person, a foot soldier, just like you and I. Not you, Paul, but others. Sorry, that's not true. Paul's just the same foot soldier as we are. He's just had a bit more training in it. So, after the persecution and the believers were scattered, Philip went to Samaria and preached very, very effectively. We read in the verses prior to what we've just read how many people were baptized after he preached. And then the big bosses in Jerusalem sent the apostles, sent Peter and John down to support Philip, and they came and they prayed for people to receive the Spirit. Yeah, not Philip. Philip preached, people were baptized, but something else happened afterwards. And then they went away. Philip carried on his ministry, just as an ordinary believer given a job to do. The Ethiopian eunuch, a really powerful man in charge of the treasury. I mean, how much more power can you have? The treasury of an even more powerful queen, a warrior queen, a very strong ruler. He was a Gentile, but a God-fearer. He probably heard from Jews who were trading in Ethiopia about their faith and embraced it. But when he went to Jerusalem, he would have been excluded from full worship because of who he was, a Gentile, a foreigner, and a eunuch. Read Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, if you want to know why eunuchs couldn't be full worshippers in the temple. They were prohibited. However, this Ethiopian eunuch, after his conversation with Philip and his conversion, went back to Ethiopia, and according to the history of the Ethiopian church, he actually started it. He converted so many people, including the queen, converted them from their Egyptian sun-worshipping religion to Christianity. So much for the people. What about the cultural barriers? Like I've said, the eunuch, because of his nationality, because of his religious background, because of his physical status, he was marked out as an outsider, an other. When he went to Jerusalem, he would have been excluded, even though he'd embraced that faith. He was a person with whom no self-respecting Jew would have anything to do with them. And yet God orchestrated this meeting with Philip to show that no one is beyond the reach of grace. He was reading the scroll, Isaiah chapter 53, a prophecy about the suffering servant that foretells the work, the suffering, the glorious resurrection of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. This passage becomes for the Ethiopian eunuch not just some words on a page, but the bridge to Jesus. So, messages, what is it? What does this passage tell us? Number one, divine appointment, God's precision in the margins. Philip's encounter with the eunuch wasn't a coincidence, it was a divine orchestration. The Spirit interrupted Philip's very successful ministry and sent him to a place on a desert road. Why? Why? Just to meet one man? Isn't that the message that we hear all the time, though? Ministry isn't just about to the multitudes. More often than not, it's to the one. Leaving the 99 behind and rescuing the one. In terms of the application of this for us, are we attuned to divine detours? Do we leave space in our schedules for Spirit-led interruptions? Like a compass needle drawn to true north, or what three words place description says, the Spirit draws Philip to a precise intersection in geography, timing, and spiritual hunger. What's going to be your most impactful ministry this coming week? It won't be in church. It might be at work, might be at home, but it might be somewhere completely different, beside somebody's metaphorical chariot. That's a challenge. Second message, radical inclusion. The gospel breaks every barrier. The Ethiopian was a triple outsider, as we've said, and yet the Spirit sends Philip not to avoid him, but to embrace him. The gospel doesn't just tolerate difference, it embraces it, it welcomes it. Contrast the Ethiopian's experience in Jerusalem with his experience with Philip. The desert, the Jerusalem had barriers, gatekeepers. The desert road had none. No veil, no remote court of Gentiles, no gatekeepers. Just the open road to baptism. This baptism in the wilderness, it was like a new kind of temple, contrasted with the Jerusalem temple, a sacred place where grace flowed freely, without barrier. Today, who are the Ethiopian eunuchs for us? Who are the marginalized, the misunderstood, the ones who are told they don't belong? Our challenge is not to echo exclusion, but to embrace the misfits, the others, the ones who don't belong. Third message, scripture as a gateway. The word meets the seeker. The Ethiopian's reading this passage from Isaiah. He's hungry for understanding, but he needs a guide. And Philip, as that guide, it doesn't just explain the text as a set of words. He connects it to the living Christ. The word becomes flesh again in their conversation. Some important lessons for us from this. We need to have spiritual insight. The eunuch's question, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? It's not just about Isaiah. It's the cry of every seeker. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What's a purpose? What's my identity? We need to discern those questions, the unspoken questions that we see in people that we come across. And we need to follow Philip's discipleship model. He didn't preach at the Ethiopian. He came alongside him, he journeyed with him, and he explained. He just offered the opportunity to the Ethiopian to understand and to come to believe. This is what the scholars might call relational evangelism. Yeah, it's just coming alongside people. And we need to be encouraged. You know, you don't need to be a doctor of theology to be the same sort of guide that Philip was. You just need to know the gospel story and be willing to share it. Fourth and the last message, baptism as a bold response, faith acting immediately. The Ethiopian sees water, I don't know how on the desert road, but miraculously there was some. And he said, what can stand in the way of me being baptized? Now, for him, this was probably a rhetorical question and a bit revolutionary, because the last thing he probably expected was that Philip would say, yeah, let's get on with it. His experience was, oh, no, you're not the right sort of person. But Philip says, yeah, great, let's do it. Immediate reaction, no gatekeeping, no barriers in the way. So, we need to take the same sort of attitude today as well. No delay, no doctrinal exam. Just water, which we've got, faith and obedience. Not just a ritual for the Ethiopian, but it's a declaration that the old exclusions that he felt, the old barriers, are gone. They're lost, just the same as today for us. The barriers that stand in our way, the barriers that the spiritual devil puts in our way, are gone, excluded, taken away. And we're free. So it's a call to action. Yeah? We in Thornhill Baptist Church need to make sure that we don't put anything in the way. No bureaucracy, no gatekeeping. And you, some of you, one of you, more of you, who with whom God has spoken to say, what about getting baptized? What about declaring publicly your faith? It's up to you to respond to the challenge as well. Next Sunday, there's a baptismal service. It's not too late to talk to Paul and Astrid. They will not put anything in your way. I asked them and they said no, they wouldn't. Talk to them. Respond. Don't just, as you might have done before, say, nah, maybe now's not the time. Now is the time. Do it. Okay, that's another challenge, a specific challenge for those of you that have been thinking about baptism. But for the rest of us here, there are other challenges. The first challenge is to be interruptible. Are we so busy with the important work that we do that we miss divine appointments? We shouldn't be. Practice spiritual sensitivity. Leave room for God's nudges. If you want the opportunity for that to happen to you, let me tell you something that you could do that I will guarantee will lead you into a meeting with somebody who may have questions. Over there is a bunch of leaflets and invitations to be taken round to the houses in our local area. I can tell you from experience, If you go and deliver those at a reasonable time of day, not 1 o'clock in the morning, at a reasonable time of day, you will meet somebody who may ask you what you're doing. Big opportunity for you. They may not ask you, but you might tell them. Do it. It's one of the best ways that you have a chance of meeting somebody who's asking a question. And of course, you're in the same token, you're giving them the opportunity by reading the leaflet and responding to come here and find out for themselves. So it's one of the best things you could do. Do it. And by the way, do it quickly, because then you can pick a street that's easy, where all the houses have got short driveways. So get in there quick. Embrace the outsider. Don't shy away from the misfits. They belong as well. They have questions as well. We need to be radically welcoming, if you like, not gatekeeping. Know the word and share the word. Like I said, you don't need to be a doctor of theology. Just know the word. Read the Bible, study the Bible, not for yourself, not just for increasing your knowledge, but so that you can practice relational evangelism, that you can tell other people about it. That would be the best reason for learning the Bible, is to be able to tell others. And baptism. I've said enough about baptism, but I'll repeat the challenge. If you've been thinking about it, do it. Don't dally. So, to close, and this for me is perhaps the most important thing about this whole passage, is Philip went back to his normal ministry. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing and converted a whole bunch of people, including the most powerful ruler in the African world at that time, to Christianity. The gospel spread to Africa through that one conversation between him and Philip. So, what could happen from the one conversation that you have with somebody who's asking questions? You never know where the ripples are going to go. So you need to take the opportunity when you see it, when it arises. If you feel able to respond to the challenges that I've put out this morning, I'm going to say a short prayer now. If you want to respond to the challenges and say, yes, I am prepared to be interruptible this coming week, stand with me as I pray and respond. Let's pray. Lord, make us interruptible. Help us to see the chariots beside us, hear the questions being asked, and respond with grace, with truth, with boldness. May we be like Philip, ready, willing, able, and led by your Spirit. Amen.